We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Go Huskies podcast is presented by Air Van Moving, the official mover of Husky athletics and your next move.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Go Huskies podcast is presented by UW Medicine. Husky athletes get the very best care at UW Medicine. And it's the same expert care that everybody can get at over 270 clinics throughout the region. UW Medicine, a higher degree of healthcare.
It's time for the Chris Peterson Show on the Washington Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. The Chris Peterson Show is brought to you by Star Rentals, preferred supplier to the West's best contractors. Now, along with Coach Pete, here's the voice of the Huskies, Tony Castricone.
Head coach Chris Peterson. Huskies coming off a 51-27 win down in the desert. Congrats on the victory. What stood out to you after going over the tape about that game?
Well, a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Probably overall the second half, you know, that we started playing as a team in all phases. In the second half, really got the offense back on, but... You know, first and foremost, probably how our defense played early on, you know, getting some turnovers, short fields, containing Khalil Tate, J.J. Taylor. I mean, those are really explosive guys that are scary and really kept in check and really kept, you know, Khalil maybe more in check for the whole game. You know, he made plays. He's going to make his plays. He's that type of player. But that's probably what jumps out to me the most.
Yeah. He did not look 100% in his wheels. That's part of it. But they're still very explosive in the passing game, too. And your defense, it's young. It's given up a few explosive this year. But other than the one that was really kind of a crossing route over the middle that they made a nice yard after catch run, there really weren't any explosives in this game.
Well, as explosive as that offense is, spreading you out, the athletes that they have, you're right. I mean, there really wasn't. They're going to get some. I mean, there's too many good players in this league for us to, you know, blanket. And so there's always going to be some explosives. You know, the trick is, can you regroup and slow them down and not give a bunch of points? I mean, at the end of the day, that's what it's always about.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, your team had some nice explosives. Putting 51 on the board had to feel good looking up there, especially after being frustrated with your first half performance. It's the most points you've scored in a conference game in 3 years. You got to go back to that game in Berkeley where you had 66. So good to see that big number on the board at the end of the day.
Well, we really did it in a half. Uh-huh. You know, that's what's a little bit of the head-scratching, you know, situation, because you know, we just had no rhythm in the first half, but it was awesome for those kids to regroup and go out and play.
I thought
Puka Nacua sparked us. You know, he made a play. Easton throws him a fade ball and he goes up and takes it away, and it was kind of a little bit of momentum, and we go down and score. And then, you know, that's how it goes. It kind of goes in stride, in momentum pushes, and it was good to see.
Yeah, momentum's a big thing in life. You know, regardless of if it's sports, life, whatever, it's hard to swing it when it's going in one direction. But once you do, you can also get it on your side. You know, you've received a lot of questions in the media this week. Articles have been written saying something clicked or something changed after halftime. When I watched it, I didn't see a big change in what we were doing. I saw a lot of the same plays. I saw maybe some small details being executed a little bit better in some key situations that made the difference.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's what it always is. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it comes back always to coaching, right? We never put this on the kids. It's not. It's how we coach them, how many reps we give them.
Mm-hmm.
Because you put the tape on, and every now and again, the defense is going to have you. There's like, oh, that's not a good play against that coverage. Or there's going to be some of that because it's a cat and mouse game.
Mm-hmm.
But for the meat of the game, the majority, you put the tape on and you're saying, yeah, we have them if we do what we're supposed to do. And so it's always that. But again, even though we're saying that, that comes back to us as coaches to rep that stuff over and over so they can execute those details and get some rhythm to them.
Yeah, and you are going up against a team that's trying to impose their will as well, right? And then so that cat and mouse game that you're talking about comes down to trying to, put your guys in position that maybe in ways that the other guys haven't seen on tape so far this year.
And there's a little of that. You know, it's a fine line between doing what you do and then adding some things and changing a few things so you keep guys off balance a little bit. But it always comes back to doing what you do. I mean, I think that's one of the things that our defense has done so well is we do what we do. But there's enough of a package there that you don't know exactly what we're going to do. You're going to see the same things, but you don't know when you're going to see them. And we'll disguise things. And the kids can really play fast and execute. And so, you know, we need to have that continue throughout the whole program.
Thought one of those small details that made a big difference in the game was you're down 17-13 at halftime. You get the ball to start the second half. You have a couple explosive plays to move the ball, but then you're facing 3rd and 3 on their side of the field. Hand off to Sean McGrew. He gets hit by two guys in the backfield.
Yeah.
And he still finds a way to get 2 yards and set up 4th and 1 as opposed to 4th and 5. Those are two different possibilities you could be facing, 4th and 1, 4th and 5, and it sets you up for a QB sneak.
And, Sean McGrew had a pretty good game. He really did. He made some really nice cuts and had a couple explosive runs. That was his most impressive play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people probably don't realize that. Didn't even pay attention. Like, what? That's a 1 yard gain. But it was. I mean, he's not a big guy, but he split those guys, put his pads down, fell forward, and everything happened after that, like you just explained.
Yeah, I think Damon and I both saw it, and we said that might be the biggest 2 yard run of the season right there. You get a QB sneak for 4 yards after that on 4th and 1, and then you end up scoring on that drive. And then the onslaught was on. I mean, the in the second half, you had the ball 7 times, you got 5 touchdowns, a field goal, and a 67-yard punt.
Yeah.
I mean, those are your possessions.
Right, right. And so you got to make them. You got to make them count, right? Uh-huh. I mean, that's, you know, that was a great job by our defense again, getting another turnover, giving us another possession. But 7 possessions in that half, you know, that sounds pretty good when you have a little rhythm and you're getting the ball back and forth. If you get 7 in the first half, 14 possessions is a lot of possessions.
Yeah.
That's probably a little bit more than, you know, we're usually somewhere around 10, 11 on a big game. You're getting maybe 14. Usually doesn't happen like that. And then you get on the Stanford side of things where they hold the ball, it's going to be less possessions. And so the whole thing is rhythm. And if they want to hold the ball, you better make your series count.
I also, studying Arizona, I didn't think that their defense was particularly deep, especially up front. And I wonder if part of the reason that maybe you had more success in the second half could have been you started to wear them down a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always some of that, you know. I mean, you see that in football across, you know, the country that, you know, second half games change. Mm-hmm. You know, guys start to get in more of a rhythm. Maybe guys on the other side get tired, or your guys just get more into a rhythm, you know, knowing how to fit blocks in the back scene thing. I mean, in the first half, it was just one of those things that was like, you know, we had a couple assignment errors that really hurt us, had a penalty or two, and all that stuff just added up that we couldn't get some rhythm going. Maybe a back doesn't see a cut the right way. it's just all these little things that add up that it's like, okay, you're three and out. You're five and out. You're three and out. And so you got to stay on the field to get rhythm. Mm-hmm. And that's what we were able to do in the second half.
We'll have more with Tony and Coach Pete right after this.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Magic Toyota in Edmonds has been an enthusiastic supporter of UW Athletics and building the future together. That's why Magic Toyota is the proud sponsor of UW's Pups and Parents program. Nothing is more satisfying than seeing past and current Huskies introducing future Huskies to the university through athletics, plus spending fun, quality time together. Brought to you by Magic Toyota, proud sponsor of UW Athletics. See our brand new, state-of-the-art Magic Toyota store right on Highway 99 in Edmonds and always online at MagicToyota.com. Go Dogs!
Bob Kendall, president of Star Rentals.
A big reason our family-owned business has been around since 1900 is the principle of empowering our people to do what they think is in the best interest of the customer. After all, this is a relationship business, and that's a constant that hasn't changed over time.
Star Rentals, the preferred supplier to the West's best contractors.
Empowering our employees to bring value to our customers. We think that's a relationship that will work for your business.
Find out how at StarRentals.com.
The Chris Peterson Show continues in 60 seconds on the Washington Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College.
Now you can bow down and drink up at Red Hook Brew Lab, located in the heart of Seattle's Capitol Hill neighborhood. Proudly partnered with the Washington Huskies, Red Hook has created their very own small batch IPA, Purple Rain, specially brewed for the home team and available on tap all season long. Catch the Husky spirit by catching a game at Red Hook Brew Lab.
The biggest schools.
Touchdown, Penn State.
Alabama.
Oklahoma. Ohio State will win.
The biggest games.
Kick is good. The Longhorns lead.
Intercepted at the goal line. The Dogs have picked it up.
Reliving the weekend on the gridiron. It's the College Football Rewind.
Throws over the middle.
Pass broken up. And the Huskies are going to win.
The Gators get a pick six.
Download on Sunday mornings on Apple Podcasts.
This place, it's an insane asylum.
Search College Sports now.
Welcome back to the Chris Peterson Show. Along with Coach Pete, here's Tony Castricone.
I've heard you say, I've heard Bush Hamden say the word aggressive a lot, trying to be aggressive this year. And wanted to ask you about, you get the block punt, you got fourth down and one, rather than take the field goal attempt to try to get the early 3-0 lead, you go for it and don't get it. Kind of similar to the game at Stanford, fourth and two, rather than tie the game up, you go for it. What are your thoughts in those situations when you do have the chance to get the points? We've talked a little bit this year about analytics, but your thoughts on those?
Well, I think it completely depends on that. You know, a lot of the statistics that we look at, it depends on who you're playing, time in the game, all those type of things add up because it changes as the game goes on. But those type of situations are really frustrating. And you talk about momentum, it's momentum backwards. Mm-hmm. And even so, sometimes, depending on who you're playing, if you take the field goal, you know, that can almost be a neutral. You know, it's not momentum. It's like you had to settle for that.
Right.
Now, sometimes it's like, hey, we know how this game's going to go. We got to take those. That's good. We'll get a touchdown next time. But so, you know, two games in a row on fourth down to not get it is really, really that is what's the opposite of no momentum, you know, whatever that is going to be. And it's a little bit deflating. But we come back and we're going to just keep being aggressive and we're going to try to be smart and we're going to use some analytic type things when we got to do it and we got to let them play.
does the fact that it's happened at Stanford and at Arizona the last couple of weeks, does that then figure into future calculations when you find similar situations?
No, it's not. It's not so much of, well, you didn't get it on this fourth down. Mm-hmm. You didn't get it on that fourth down against these guys. It's really game by game, who you're playing, matchups, all those type of things. Mm-hmm. So that's how we look at it.
Yeah, we talked a little bit at the top about the defense, but really, as explosive as this team was in Arizona coming into the game, what did you like most about your defense and its performance in this game, which A, kept you in it early, and then B, helped you pile on in the second half?
Yeah, I thought the main thing was probably just containing their quarterback. Mm. That's what I thought, you know, and like you said, he may not have been 100% of, you know, what he's been. I still thought he ran pretty good because we couldn't get our hands on him. But it kind of went how we were hoping, that, you know, he gets out of the pocket and there's somebody there where he cannot set his feet, or he's going to have to try to make a tough throw, and they're chasing him out of bounds as that's going on. Mm-hmm. And we really had a few times where that's exactly what transpired. So I thought we got good pressure on him. You know, if we weren't hitting him, you know, he was really running and not being able to, you know, throw the design pass that was there. And then he was really running so hard, we were chasing so hard, that they're very good in scramble. You know, when the scrambles happen, you know, they made a lot of huge plays over the six games that we watched before then, and it really didn't get much there.
Yeah, and we had talked about that on last week's show, that once he gets out of the pocket, you still haven't won the battle yet, because that's where it could just be beginning for him. But he threw the ball out of bounds a lot, which to me said there was nothing open down
that's
the field.
Right. And so, you know, what's amazing about all these things that we're talking about, I mean, this is all situational football. Like, scramble mode is a situation. We work on this stuff all the time. You can't believe, I mean, how we break this down and, like, all these different, and, you know, it happens in the game, and, you know, people are like, what in the world? Are these guys even paying attention to this? So, like, so the scramble situation is something that, you know, from day one, we pay attention to. The scramble drill was the, we would say, is the number one concept that Arizona ran. He was averaging 15-plus scrambles a game, for scramble throws, mm-hmm. scramble runs mm-hmm. in the pass game. So that's as many, you know, in terms of like a concept they'll run, we consider that a concept. So like that was as high on the charts as anything. So again, we worked our tail off it, on it, easier, you know, to talk about and execute than actually get it done. And that's what I was really proud of our defense, of just really kind of containing him.
You say the word contain. We talked last week about how important it would be for the edge rushers to contain Khalil Tate. And your team players of the week, you get Joe Tryon as your defensive player mm-hmm. and Ryan Bowman as your mm-hmm. lineman, because really I thought those two both had a big game in setting the edge.
Yeah, no question. And then when he did escape around them, they were right there to, you know,
giving him chase,
breathing on him hard, mm-hmm. and he felt it. So, I mean, he wasn't able to ever square his shoulders and get around the corner to take off and run, and so they did a great job.
A couple new guys in new positions, maybe not totally new positions, but Asa Turner gets a start at safety. Ariel Nagata gets a lot of reps at inside linebacker and ends up as your team's leading tackler in this game. What did you see from those two, and what do you like about the way they're playing?
Well, you know, we've talked about Asa the last couple of weeks, I think, in a couple of different interviews I've done, and he's just steadily, continually gotten better. You know, I always kind of shake my head, and I bring this up about how difficult it is for these freshmen, these true freshmen, to play in our secondary, because if they make a mistake, which most do, most freshmen, it's a big problem. Mm-hmm. And so for those guys, you know, the Cam Williams, the Asa Turners, the Trent McDuffies, to be playing back there, and, you know, really doing some good things is really a credit to Coach Lake and Coach Harris and how they coach those guys. But Ace has been getting better all the time. And so he was playing a little bit more for Cam Williams, who is going to be a really good player for us. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's up to the, you know, six games. He's made a lot of plays. He's grown a lot. But there's a couple of mistakes that were made there as well. And so, you know, you got to keep developing depth across the board, and certain guys practice well, and it's like, okay, we need to give this guy more of a chance. And so that's what's going on. But I'm proud of all those freshmen that play back there.
And Ariel Nagata making big plays at inside linebacker.
And so, you know, he's always been a guy that we're like, okay, what is he best suited for? So we've had him off the edge, then we've put him at inside backer, and we put him back on the edge because he can run and he can cause havoc. And he's a little bit of this hybrid tweener. And so that's kind of always thrown us a little bit for a curveball, exactly how to use his strengths the best. But it was really awesome to see those guys on defense, Coach Gregory and company, get him in there, and he can run and make plays.
First career touch goes for a touchdown for Jack Westover. So, you know, he's played in every game. And so he gets the touchdown, and I start flipping through the notes that we have on all the players, and I'm trying to, like, find more information to say about Jack Westover. And there's, like, nothing written in it. There's, like, nothing about Jack Westover. How did this kid become a Husky? What's his background? What do you know about Jack Westover?
Well, he and his family have a lot of ties to UW, so he was really always a big Husky from the start. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're always trying to look for guys that we think can play at a high level, walk-on-wise. Mm-hmm. We really do. I mean, we look for – like, we don't want somebody to walk on here that if we don't think can maybe get into the mix. And, you know, maybe about a third of the time we're right. That, you know, it's pretty high level. And that, you know, really get into the mix. And the rest of the guys, that doesn't mean they're not truly part of this team and really help us.
Sure.
Because they are. We have some guys that have been on the scout team for a while that really help us. But Jack's one of those guys that was a tremendous athlete in high school, but he was hurt all the time. He was like a really good basketball player, but he was hurt in basketball. So you just see these flashes of him like playing basketball. Football was the same way. Just kind of had some bad luck along the way. Got hurt a little bit here early in his career, too. Well, it's true freshman year. We're like, if this guy could ever stay healthy, because you could see how athletic he's got a tremendous vertical jump. I think he's like a 37-inch vertical.
He can do a 360 dunk.
Yeah, I mean, he's very, very athletic. And so you could see all these tools. For him, it was going to be a matter of staying healthy so he keep practicing, getting stronger, develop, you know, talent. And so he's doing a really good job. He's just a young guy that's going to, you know, if he, again, knock on wood, if he can stay healthy, he's going to continue getting better because he really has some talent to him.
Coming up, our assistant coach of the week, right after this.
This Husky tailgating moment is brought to you by Waterbrook Winery, proud partner of Husky Athletics. For this week's matchup against the Ducks, savvy tailgaters know to pair Waterbrook Reserve Chardonnay with a crowd-pleasing meal. Much like football, a successful tailgating game plan is all about strategy and execution. Your mealtime roster scores big points with Waterbrook Reserve Chardonnay backing it up. Waterbrook Winery, vintage Walla Walla, award-winning wines representing the best of the Columbia Valley. Visit us at waterbrook.com and go Huskies.
Make sure to stay updated on all the action.
Under pressure, the sack.
All the time.
Jammed it home.
With content from all 7 Pac-12 Network's channels on Pac-12 Now, where you can access live events.
Just a moonshot.
And original programming on demand, with the ability to customize the teams you want to follow and the content you want to see, wherever you are and whenever you want it. All the teams and all the access, all with Pac-12 Now.
More from Tony and Coach Pete in a moment. But first, these messages from your local station.
Hey, I'm Kirk Herbstreit, and I watch college football like it's my job.
It is your job.
I know, but sometimes I like to get out of the booth and chill. Here, have a Coors Light.
Thanks.
So, where was I?
You're on my couch. In my spot.
Oh, is this your spot? It's a nice spot. Great view.
Grab some Coors Light for every game day. Proud partner of Husky Athletics. 2019 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
At Boeing, we support events that bring us closer, make our communities better places to live and work, and help us build a sound future together. That's why we are proud to be the title sponsor of the Boeing Apple Cup Series. When we celebrate this long-standing rivalry, we celebrate Washington's spirit. And that's something we can all get behind. The Boeing Apple Cup Series. Here for the rivalry. Here for the tradition.
Welcome back to the Chris Peterson Show. Here's Tony Castricone.
Pete Kwiatkowski, the outside linebackers coach for the Huskies, is our assistant coach of the week. And coach, let's talk a little bit about your group. Chris Peterson said earlier on the show that we knew going into the Arizona game that it'd be really important for those edge rushers to contain Khalil Tate. And I really think that both Ryan Bowman and Joe Tryon did a fantastic job in that game, not letting that slippery quarterback get out of there.
Yeah, I mean, that was going into it. We knew what he could do. The guy's talented. We always knew he was talented with his legs. And when he got out and about, that's when big plays happened for those guys. And he's definitely the guy that makes that offense go. And so that was a huge emphasis for us all week.
Ryan Bowman, for his efforts, gets named the Pac-12 Defensive Lineman of the Week. What did you particularly like about the way Ryan played?
He made plays. Yeah. He always plays hard, and it was just the plays were there to be made, and he made them. And that's the war cry we have with all our guys, man. Make the plays that you're supposed to make. Do your job. Make the plays you're supposed to make. And I think. Both him and Joe, and we had a lot of guys that last week do that, but we got to continue doing that moving forward.
Coach Pete often says there's a difference between a guy who's just a really good playmaker and a guy who's a leader. Who's a leader maybe out of your room that a lot of guys turn to?
You know, Joe's and Rhino are probably the two guys that come to mind. They're growing in that. You know, they're not quite where we would like them to be, but they have gotten better, and they're taking any time that we're always talking about be here now mindset. And so when we're in the meeting room, we like to have fun, but then it's time to be here now and be serious. And they've taken a step with that, and and just leading by example, and that starts with that. If you're not leading by example, the credibility, it's hard to have credibility. And so I think they're doing it that way, and now they're just feeling a little bit more comfortable being a little bit more vocal with guys.
You've got a young room. I don't think any seniors or
no,
maybe
Rhino is a junior and Miles Rice is a junior. Mm-hmm. And then Joe's a sophomore, and then the rest of the guys are redshirt freshmen or freshmen.
Yeah, let's talk about some of those freshmen. Zion Tupuola-Fatui has played quite a bit this year, and also Liatu Latu has been on the field for a lot of snaps this season.
Yeah, start with Liatu. He started out really well, and then he got nicked up against Hawaii, and so he's been battling that. And he's a tough kid, and he's fighting through it, but he's still not quite 100%, and we're all waiting for that time when he's 100%. He can get back to like he was early in the season and during camp.
What about Zion Tupuola-Fatui?
Yeah, Zion. Every week he's getting better. The intensity, his ability to sustain the intensity, is getting better. And we talk about that all the time. It's young guys come in and everything's moving faster, and guys are bigger, and there's a little bit of a learning curve there, and he is definitely making strides in that department, and I expect big things out of him down the rest of the season.
Yeah, it's been exciting to watch some of these younger players. They definitely have the flashes of athleticism where you can tell that once the game does slow down for them, I mean, these guys are really impressive, some of the things they put on tape.
Yeah, they're all, you talk about those two guys, Zion and Liatu, Liatu's 270 pounds or even more than that, and can really move. And when he was healthy, I mean, his rugby background showed up the way he tackled. He tackled violent, and Zion's 260 pound guy that can really run. Is really athletic. It's just continuing to get better, continuing to grow, and just take that next step with that mentality of how to attack every play.
What do you think is the next step for a lot of the guys in your room? Just consistency.
Yeah, it's always gonna be consistency. I think Joe and Rhino are really taking a step that way, and it's showing in practice, the intensity that they practice with. Every we talk about every practice rep needs to be like a game rep, and then those reps add up your building skill. And then on Saturday, that we say practice execution equals game reality. And so we saw that last week with those guys. And so that's the biggest thing, is just the consistency part of it, and keep hammering away at it.
Curious about a guy like Ariel Nagata, because he's gone kind of back and forth between inside, outside. How does that work between you and Coach Gregory? And we saw him get moved inside in this last game and really made a lot of plays in all those reps he got out there.
I think moving him going back inside is really good for him. Obviously, he's getting more opportunity to play during the games. And I think that suits his skill set a little bit better than you know, we call our guys outside linebackers, but they're defensive ends. Mm-hmm. And you can tell by, you know, how big they are. Those guys need to be able to handle tackles and set the edge and be physical in the run game. And so I think Ariel moving back inside it helps the defense, and it also obviously helps him.
What do you like about what he offers at that position?
He's fast and explosive. He's fast and explosive. He can, you know, if he's at a step out of place, or maybe makes a misread here or there, he's got the quickness and the speed to track things down.
Being outside linebacker / defensive ends, you're getting ready to go up against one of the best offensive lines you'll see all season.
Yeah.
Oregon is elite in this category. Let's start with the left tackle and the right tackle, Penei Sewell and Calvin Throckmorton. What do you see from these guys when you look at them on tape?
Yeah, Calvin is a big, physical, mauler type guy, tough guy, and he's strong, and you can tell they like to run the ball, and they commit to running the ball, and they spend a lot of time. They got good technique, and they're big, strong, and physical. And then Penei, he's a true sophomore, and the guy's just big and athletic. He's really light on his feet for how big he is, and he plays. They both play with great attitude, physical. It's going to be a great challenge.
That's going to be a lot of fun. Hey, Coach K, thanks for the time. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Go Dogs.
Coming up, our player of the week, right after this.
Husky fans, show us how you Husky this football season with gear from University Bookstore, the authentic Husky retailer and the only store that supports the UW community. For the best selection of new Adidas, trending styles and accessories, tailgating gear, and more, shop online at ubookstore.com, stop into the Av Store on University Way, or visit us on game day at our Rainier Vista pop-up shop near Husky Stadium. University Bookstore, # How I Husky, # Be Husky Everywhere.
At Bail Breaker Brewing, we've always been proud supporters of UW Athletics, since we paid tuition there. We're also proud supporters of drinking deliciously freshly brewed local craft beer on game day, which is why we're now pouring our Northwestern brand of family-farmed heavenly hoppiness at every Husky game this year. So come raise a glass to Husky football on game day, or drop by the brewery and raise one with us on all those other days. Bail Breaker Brewing. Fresh off the farm. Go Dogs.
This is Husky football from Learfield, IMG College.
Magic Toyota in Edmonds has been an enthusiastic supporter of UW Athletics and building the future together. That's why Magic Toyota is the proud sponsor of UW's Pups and Parents program. Nothing is more satisfying than seeing past and current Huskies introducing future Huskies to the university through athletics, plus spending fun, quality time together. Brought to you by Magic Toyota, proud sponsor of UW Athletics. See our brand new, state-of-the-art Magic Toyota store right on Highway 99 in Edmonds and always online at magictoyota.com. Go Dogs!
Bob Kendall, president of Star Rentals.
A big reason our family-owned business has been around since 1900 is the principle of empowering our people to do what they think is in the best interest of the customer. After all, this is a relationship business, and that's a constant that hasn't changed over time.
Star Rentals, the preferred supplier to the West's best contractors.
Empowering our employees to bring value to our customers. We think that's a relationship that will work for your business.
Find out how at starrentals.com.
Welcome back to the Chris Peterson Show.
Here's Tony Castricone.
Ryan Bowman is our student athlete of the week. He joins us now on the Chris Peterson Show. And Ryan, congrats on getting named the Pac-12 Defensive Lineman of the Week. What comes along with that? You get a certificate, a plaque, a handshake, a pat on the back. What is it?
Nah, just mainly jokes from teammates. Yeah, that's typically all it is, just jokes from teammates and coaches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do they break the news to you?
It's just like you walk around and guys just start messing with you, like, oh, whoa, you know, the Pac-12. It's like that type of thing.
Yeah.
We're kind of all like that to each other. Like when Benning had it week one, we were messing with him a lot.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's all just laughs, though.
Yeah, but how do you find out? Do you find out on Twitter?
I found out on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got tagged in something and saw it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
Well, you played really well. It had to be fun coming off that Arizona performance where I don't want to say career night. You've had a lot of good games,
yeah.
But it's special to get your first career interception.
Yeah, that is for sure really special. That was like the last thing I expected to happen was to get an interception, but I was just in the right place at the right time.
So last year, Greg Gaines got his first career pick, and yours looked kind of similar. You get a hand on the football and then just lay out and dive for it. What goes through your mind when you see the play coming your way? Because you have so few, as a defensive lineman or an edge rusher, you have so few opportunities to get a pick.
I just saw the ball coming, and I was thinking, I'm going to bat this ball, and then it was right in my hand. So right as I batted it, I just looked for where to catch it right away, and I was fortunate enough to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And initially, I wish I would have been thinking, like, catch it instantly, but I didn't think it was going to be such a straightforward pass to me. So I was thinking of batting it initially, and then I just had the opportunity.
What is it like when you, like, secure that, you know, hey, I got my hands underneath it. This one counts.
Yeah,
I just got my first career interception.
I couldn't even think about anything because Levi tackled me right away. So I was like, this really just happened. That's all I was thinking. So it was pretty surreal, you know. I mean, I now know how Greg felt when he did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're in the outside linebacker room, technically, but you're lined up as kind of a defensive end in the way that this defense works, and so you're out there with a lot of the defensive linemen, too. Mm-hmm. What's that relationship like, that bond with the fellow defensive linemen who are helping you celebrate a pick like that?
I mean, that's my favorite thing, you know, because, like, we call ourselves outside linebackers. We're pretty much defensive ends. Like, I play three tech. Like, sometimes I might even be lined up on the center. So, and when I initially came here, I played D tackle my redshirt year, and switched over to outside linebacker my redshirt freshman year. So, we're kind of really tight knit, especially with just front seven. You know, with the D line, we're kind of always doing stuff together, and we're probably like the biggest friend group that is on the team. So that's a really cool feeling.
What, like, take me through the kind of ways that you're used, because you talk about being lined up over center sometimes, and I do see that. And there are packages where we'll run seven DBs, and then there are packages where we'll have, like, five defensive linemen with three guys in the middle and you and Joe on the edges.
Yeah.
And take me through the different ways that you're used.
We do a lot of, like you said, we do a lot of different stuff. I mean, like, I'll be on the edge, and then maybe 40% of the time I'll be in a 4-eye or three tech, and I like that a lot because I can
explain that to people. 4-eye 3-tech.
4-eye is just lined up inside the tackle, and then 3-tech is lined up outside the guard, so just inside, and just being able to play kind of like a defensive tackle, and being more versatile, and it's like it's pretty good to get some quickness down in there sometimes, you know, make things happen like that. And yeah, so just doing a handful of different things on the line.
You are in the outside linebacker room, though, under Coach K.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty young room.
Yeah,
you got a lot of young
sure.
guys in there, and you're one of the few upperclassmen. What's it been like for you to do you take on a leadership role there? And
yeah, I do. I love hanging out with the younger guys because I know exactly how it's like to be those guys. So I remember when I came in and how I looked at the older guys and how I felt about them, and then it's kind of weird being that guy now. I had Liatu tell me like that, like he looks up to me, and it's like weird thinking that, like, dude, I'm just a kid just like you, you know? But it's definitely a cool feeling. I love the young guys in our group, and it's fun to, like, show them how things are done, you know, pave the way, and, like, keep the bar raised high. And they're great players, too, and they're great guys, so I'm excited about it.
Tell me a little bit about those young guys, Zion Tupuola-Fatui, Liatu Latu. Those guys play a lot. What would you notice about them?
They're just great dudes. They're fun, and then they got a lot of talent, and they got a lot of potential. And it's just pretty much every day guys are getting better and looking good. So it's really exciting for me because I know one day I'll be able to watch them, like, doing incredible things here. So I'm really excited about that.
How's your brother Shane doing? We don't see him around anymore.
He's doing really good. I just found out an hour ago that he's going to be on the Seattle XFL team.
No way.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Yeah. That's awesome.
That's pretty awesome. I have yet to see him yet since then, so I'm excited to go see him.
Oh, that's awesome. So do you know what all goes into that? I mean, XFL football is a little bit different.
Yeah, I don't. I just know that the draft went down a little bit different than like how the NFL draft is. And I know it starts in January or February.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I know. I got to learn more.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't followed that whole thing much myself, yeah. But that's really cool to hear, and congrats to him. That's awesome to see that he gets to continue playing football. You're getting ready to play Oregon. These games, tell me what they're like. I mean, this is a rivalry. Fans on the outside take these games so seriously. Yeah. On the inside, you take it one game at a time. What's it like for you to go up against a team like Oregon?
I mean, we're just mainly thinking about us. You know, it's like because – we always got to make sure we're playing our most physical football and being our best selves on the field. So it's exciting. You know, like these are the games you live for. So it's like these are the games that you want to play. I mean, it doesn't get much better than this for us.
What do you see from Oregon's offensive line? They look like they're pretty good.
Yeah, they're pretty good. They're athletic guys. They're, you know, everybody knows. I mean, they're good, but, you know, we're going to bring our game.
As an edge rusher, you look at Throckmorton on the right side,
yeah.
Penei Sewell on the left side. Both those guys are considered among the top in the nation at what they do. Is that one of those things that you get excited to go up against a guy that's getting those sort of accolades? What's that feel like on game week?
Just another opportunity. Yeah. So, I mean, it feels good, but we're just going to keep watching film and be ready to go.
What do you remember about last year's game against Oregon?
We should have won. That's what I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That opportunity at the end. These games, do they feel more emotional for you than maybe another conference opponent outside of maybe Washington State?
Yeah, I mean for me, every game, especially Pac-12 games, are really emotional for me. And this is just another opportunity to prove myself. That's how I see it.
Well, best of luck, Ryan. We'll be cheering you on and tell Shane we said congratulations. Yep.
Thank you. I will.
We'll have more of the Chris Peterson Show right after this.
At Boeing, we support events that bring us closer, make our communities better places to live and work, and help us build a sound future together. That's why we are proud to be the title sponsor of the Boeing Apple Cup Series. When we celebrate this long-standing rivalry, we celebrate Washington's spirit, and that's something we can all get behind. The Boeing Apple Cup Series. Here for the rivalry, here for the tradition.
Now you can bow down and drink up at Red Hook Brew Lab, located in the heart of Seattle's Capitol Hill neighborhood. Proudly partnered with the Washington Huskies, Red Hook has created their very own small batch IPA, Purple Rain, specially brewed for the home team and available on tap all season long. Catch the Husky spirit by catching a game at Red Hook Brew Lab.
The Chris Peterson Show continues in 60 seconds on the Washington Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College.
This Husky tailgating moment is brought to you by Waterbrook Winery, proud partner of Husky Athletics. For this week's matchup against the Ducks, savvy tailgaters know to pair Waterbrook Reserve Chardonnay with a crowd-pleasing meal. Much like football, a successful tailgating game plan is all about strategy and execution. Your mealtime roster scores big points with Waterbrook Reserve Chardonnay backing it up. Waterbrook Winery, vintage Walla Walla, award-winning wines representing the best of the Columbia Valley. Visit us at waterbrook.com and go Huskies.
From the opening kick.
The 90th meeting between Notre Dame and USC. Ball is in the air.
To the post-game pressers.
It's just an incredible football game, and both teams. I've never been anything like it.
We've got you covered from around the nation.
This is the College Football Rewind.
The Aggies win in overtime.
Fumbles the football, and Michigan's got it.
10, 5, 3, touchdown, Oregon.
Download on Sunday mornings on Apple Podcasts.
Touchdown, Virginia Tech Hokies.
Search College Sports now.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Chris Peterson Show. Along with Coach Pete, here's Tony Castricone.
Let's talk Oregon. Big game this weekend. Fans love the rivalry aspect about this one. And it's so interesting because, as you know, being around the team and the program, you can't afford to look at anything as other than one game at a time, game plan, yeah, all that stuff. But for the fans, it's like this is the Super Bowl. I mean, this is the Oregon game, right? And the other wrinkle that's interesting is some of your players grew up as fans, right? So they feel a little, yeah, bit of that. So, yeah, so it's an emotional week.
Well, it is. It certainly starts with the fans, and I love that, because I want that translated into the stadium. I mean, last year when we played down there at Autzen, like, you could feel that is a big-time game. And it really starts with what's in the stadium, the energy in the stadium. I mean, we couldn't hear a thing, you know, on a lot of downs, whether we were backed up, punting, third downs. And I'm really hoping our fans are hoping to repay those nice ducks coming into our stadium with the same courtesy that they extended to us last year.
Well, it was a great game. It was a great college football game that unfortunately did not go our way last year, but two really evenly matched teams. And one of the things that you remember from last year is Peyton Henry misses the kick. And here we are 12 months later, and he has not missed a single kick this year. He's got more field goals made than anybody in all of college football, yeah, with 14. How proud are you of the progress that Peyton has made over the last, yeah, 12 months?
I mean, he missed a couple kicks last year that I knew he could make. You know, I always equate it to golf. You know, those that have golfed a lot, and I'm not a good golfer by any stretch, but I've golfed enough to know, like, you know, you go to the driving range and it all looks pretty good, and you get out there and it's like, huh, are you kidding me? And I really equate that sometimes, like, you know, to put it to the fan perspective. It's, yeah, like that kick and field goals that you watched him kick last year, and it's like, this guy has got a really nice leg, and he's accurate most of the time. And it's just, for the field goal kicker, you don't want most of the time. It, yeah, needs to be, and especially when they're in situations where they're real makeable in terms of his range. And so, I mean, I remember after, I don't know what game it was. It probably was the Oregon game, but it could have been a different game. But I told him, I said, you know, Peyton, you don't worry about this. If you just keep working, like, you're going to be a really big-time kicker. I just really believe that, you know. And I really always like how he attacks the ball. Like, that never changes. Like, if he'd miss a field goal, hit a bad one in practice, in a game, he'll go back and he is going after that ball. And so I just, you know, you look at that and you're just thinking, if he stays focused and just keeps building skill, he's going to do some nice things.
Yeah, excited to see him perform this weekend. Oregon, one of the things that's interesting about Oregon is that they've got a pro prospect at quarterback. They've got all these players offensively, and yet when you look at their defensive numbers, mm-hmm, they are at the top of college football. They're the top of the top, yep, as they just continue to stymie team after team.
Yeah. Well, our buddy Andy Avalos, who we go way back with, has done a really nice job over there. And
new coordinator.
Andy Avalos, the D coordinator, you know, was with us at Boise, played at Boise, all those things. And so we know Andy well. We know he's what a coach he is. So it's not surprising, you know, Oregon's got some good players over there. I mean, you can be, you know, a great coach, and if you don't have the talent, that's still going to be a little bit of a problem. But, you know, Andy does a great job, and they got really good players to complement it. They're deep. They'll play, you know, guys at all positions on defense and rotate them, and they just don't drop off. But they also have some, you know, some future pros themselves on defense as well. And so they're doing a spectacular job over there on defense.
Let's talk about their front. They suffered an injury that is done for the year, so now it's kind of opened the way for Kayvon Thibodeau, the number one recruit on the defensive end. And then Jordan Scott, just an enormous body at 34 at the nose tackle position, and Austin Faliu on the edge.
Yeah, so you said it all, the number one recruit in the country. Like, their guy gets hurt, and now it's a chance for him. And, you know, Kayvon does a great job of coming off that edge. I mean, when you put the tape on, you're like, oh, okay. You know, those that hadn't seen him in high school, it's like, oh, that's why. You know, he's just tremendously athletic and speed. And, you know, Jordan Scott, we played against him the last couple of years, and he plays a true freshman. Mm-hmm. And so he's a battler. I mean, he's tough. He's thick inside. And you can just kind of go down the list. Troy Dye is a guy, you know, he's a fifth-year senior. I think he's fifth year. Mm-hmm. Played a lot of football. It's like, man, he's one of those guys. This guy's still there. And, you know, that secondary is doing a really nice job. You know, those guys are all really athletic. Again, those corners played as young guys, and mm-hmm. so now they're seasoned, and they know what they're really doing. They're very confident, play at a high level. So, heck of a defense. The scheme's good. They mix it up, and they play as a group.
Last few years, your defenses have had some really good guys in that nickel role, like a Miles Bryant this year, Elijah Molden. Looks like for Oregon, Javon Holland is just a big-time playmaker.
He really is, and he's gotten better, you know. So I remember we were watching him last year, and he was they played him a little bit early, and you could see flashes, and you're like, wow, this guy's gonna be a really good player, even when he wasn't the starter. And then I think about the time we played him, he became a starter. And to watch it, you know, he played really well against us, and then to watch what he did the rest of the year and where he is this year, he is a really high-level elite player.
Why is their secondary so successful? You know, D'Amador Lenore is a playmaker. He had a pick against us last year.
Yeah.
Thomas Graham, another good corner. But what is it about this secondary that's so good?
Well, they're athletic. And so D'Amador and Thomas Graham, and both those guys, now this is their third year, they played as freshmen as they were out there. And you know, you could see even as true freshmen, they battled, they competed mm-hmm. hard. And so they've just continually gotten better. And so it starts that. And we talked about Holland and, you know, McKinley's doing a nice job, and Pickett. And so they got just, they, I mean, that's why they were one of the best defense, if not the best in the country, is they got some pretty good players to complement what they're doing.
Yeah, the defensive stats are out of this world. Only four touchdowns allowed all season, tied for first in the country. But one thing that stands out is zero touchdowns allowed in the red zone
yeah.
over the last nine trips opponents have had
yeah.
down there.
Yeah.
What when you see that, why yeah. are they having success bowing up down there?
Well, you know, it's a good defense to start with. Mm-hmm. And so they're not going to – the best way to play red zone defense is not let a team get in there. And that's – I mean, we learned that from ourselves.
Right.
But when they do and you're a good defense – you're going to have to earn it even more. You know, teams are trying to run the ball where they're packed in there a little bit better. Okay, well, you're trying to throw it, the field is shrunk. It's hard to spread out against those tight corners. So it's a combination of all those things. I mean, when you have a really good defense, you're going to be good in the red zone as well.
We'll have more with Tony and Coach Pete right after this.
Hey, I'm Kirk Herbstreit, and I watch college football like it's my job.
It is your job.
I know, but sometimes I like to get out of the booth and chill. Here, have a Coors Light.
Thanks.
So, where was I?
You're on my couch. In my spot.
Oh, is this your spot? It's a nice spot. Great view.
Grab some Coors Light for every game day. Proud partner of Husky Athletics. 2019 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Make sure to stay updated on all the action.
Under pressure is sacked.
All the time.
Jams it home.
With content from all seven Pac-12 Network's channels on Pac-12 Now, where you can access live events.
Just a moonshot.
And original programming on demand, with the ability to customize the teams you want to follow and the content you want to see. Wherever you are and whenever you want it. All the teams and all the access. All with Pac-12 Now.
More from Tony and Coach Pete in a moment. But first, these messages from your local station.
At Bale Breaker Brewing, we've always been proud supporters of UW Athletics, since we paid tuition there. We're also proud supporters of drinking deliciously freshly brewed local craft beer on game day, which is why we're now pouring our Northwestern brand of family-farmed heavenly hoppiness at every Husky game this year. So come raise a glass to Husky football on game day, or drop by the brewery and raise one with us on all those other days. Bale Breaker Brewing, fresh off the farm. Go Dawgs!
Husky fans, show us how you Husky this football season with gear from University Bookstore, the authentic Husky retailer and the only store that supports the UW community. For the best selection of new Adidas, trending styles and accessories, tailgating gear, and more, shop online at ubookstore.com, stop into the Av Store on University Way, or visit us on game day at our Rainier Vista pop-up shop near Husky Stadium. University Bookstore, hashtag HowIHusky, hashtag BeHusky everywhere.
Welcome back to the Chris Peterson Show. Along with Coach Pete, here's Tony Castricone.
Let's talk about their offense a little bit. I think one of the things that both of these teams do really well is capitalizing off of turnovers. You guys have done it really well this year. I think 66 points off of 13 turnovers, and two of those turnovers were knees. So really 66 out of 11. That's 6 points per possession off of turnovers for Washington this year. But Oregon's right up there. 9 offensive touchdowns, 1 defensive touchdown, only a couple of punts. They're very good off turnovers as well.
They are. You know, I mean, everybody, everybody in the country kind of knows the formula. Now it's just how to, you know, get that out. You know, how to create those turnovers. I mean, everybody's working on them, and on both sides, to not give them up, to create them. And, you know, those that can get that done are going to do some special things.
Their wide receiver room is very deep, but it's also just now starting to get healthy. They really like that freshman Pittman in the slot. He's really just playing his first few games. The transfer from Penn State, Johnson, playing his first few games. What do you see? And then you got other guys that have been playing all season. What do you see in their wide receiver threats?
Yeah, just what you said. I mean, they were a little banged up early on, and they're really starting to come on. And, you know, you have a transfer and a true freshman that are, you know, learning their system rapidly. And you can see it each game. They're getting better and better. And then when you got the QB that can deliver the ball all over the field, it's a tough combination to deal with.
What style of QB would you say Justin Herbert is, and why is he one of the tops in the country?
Pro style. That's why I'd say he's one of the tops, you know, ranked guys. I mean, he's 6'6", and he's played a lot of ball. He's an accurate thrower. He's super athletic. I mean, he could run all over the field. See, back in the day, this pistol offense was all about running. It was all about quarterback run game, and he could do that. When we did it, we had to defend Colin Kaepernick for 4 years, and Colin Kaepernick set records that are still set in the NCAA in terms of throwing, combination running. So that's how that thing was really set up. And he will run on occasion when he needs to. But, you know, he's a passer. He's going to be a top draft pick, all those type of things. And, you know, he just got all the tools.
Also, you watched like their game against Cal, and yeah, they only scored 17 points, but they shot themselves in the foot with some turnovers. I felt like with that pistol look and with these running backs like Verdell and Dye, he takes a snap, turns around, hands it, and then with that offensive line, there's just big push, like 7-8 yards a pop. They're just ripping off chunks of yardage.
Yeah. I mean, you know, these they got these, you know, flashy players, the quarterback, the receivers. But then when you really start to look at them on offense, you know, it starts on that offensive line that are all old guys. They've played for a long time. We've seen these guys, a lot of these guys played as freshmen, except for their left tackle, Sewell, who is another elite player. Now, I'm talking about all the good players on the field. This guy is as good as anybody we've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
And then you know, the running backs, Dye and Verdell, I mean, those, they're, and, you know, the pistol's a downhill offense. That's where they line them up behind the quarterback. They don't get under center, but it's the same thing, downhill. And those guys block, you know, Coach Cristobal, I mean, he's an O-line guy by heart, by trade. That's where, you know, that's his specialty, and you can see it in their team.
This is going to be the best offensive line you face all season long. Is that a good thing that we've worked in so many guys at defensive line to be able to keep some fresh bodies, you know, throughout the course of this game?
Yeah, I mean, you always got to have that depth. There's no question about it. And I always say, you know, it's much harder effort, energy-wise, to play the snaps aren't the same in terms of like the O-line, D-line, because the D-line has to react and then chase so much or chase the quarterback in the pocket and pass game, where the O-line's just sitting and punching. And, you know, they're both physical, they're both getting worn out, but there's still more wear and tear on that defensive side of the ball, energy-wise, all those other things. And so you have to rotate guys in there.
Mm-hmm. What do you really see from this Oregon team, you know, big picture, as to why they're 5-1? They really are 9 seconds away from being 6-0, right?
I was going to say that. Yeah. I mean, so you're seeing one of the better teams in the country. I really think that. That's what I do think. That game against Auburn, first game of the season, could have gone either way. I mean, they had them. You know, Auburn, their credit, did a great job of coming back on them. But they did have them. And, you know, okay, so they're going to play at a high level from the start. Like, those are two pretty good teams coming right out of the gate. And then from there, they just continue to get better. You know, they kind of set the bar. And each week, they're kind of playing at the next level. And so, I mean, this is a really good football team without question.
I know we call them the 12s over at CenturyLink. Yeah. But, I mean, look, I think – people talking, what happened at Stanford? I think one of the things that we just don't talk about enough is how hard it is to win on the road in college football. Yeah. It's really hard to do. And you know, we're going to have a good old-fashioned Pacific Northwest rainy day on Saturday. 70,000 people wearing their raincoats. And I think this atmosphere is going to be one of the best you find in all college football.
Yeah, if this isn't – this is like dog weather, yeah, you know, made for us. We need the 13s to show up loud and clear. So they got one extra with the Seahawks. We get two extra, so we'll call them the 13s. We need both sides of the stadiums to show up. The 13s need to go. And I'm excited. I mean, that's fun to come out in the stadium. And, you know, and it makes, like you're saying, it makes such a difference. It really does. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a team's driving or you're not doing something, you know, and that crowd gets into it and just keeps on. It does energize the guys.
Yep. We saw in the last game, SC had 3 or 4 false starts and all that stuff. I mean, it's the real deal.
There's no question. And it's amazing how those little false starts can add up. You know, all of a sudden you're talking about a 3rd and 5 and goes to 3rd and 10. You go to 3rd and 2 to 3rd and 7. You know, all those things really, really matter. And, you know, this can be a tough place to play when the 13s show up loud and proud.
All right, Coach. Well, it's one of the great rivalries in college football. Two really good teams this year. Look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
Okay. Thank you, Tony.
You've been listening to The Chris Peterson Show on the Washington Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. The Chris Peterson Show has been sponsored by Star Rentals, preferred supplier to the West's best contractors. The Preceding has been a Learfield, IMG College presentation of the Washington Sports Network.